Good evening, everyone. Welcome to the Scrutiny Commission meeting. My name is Councillor Mary Draycott. I'll be chairing the meeting. First of all, I need to read out the following. Please note that this meeting will be recorded and the sound recording subsequently made available via the Council's website, charnwoodgov.uk/pages/committees. In addition, please be advised that under the Openness of the Local Government Bodies Regulation 2014, that other people may film, record, tweet or blog from this meeting. The use of any images or sound recordings is not under the Council's control. If you have any queries about these arrangements, please speak to the Democratic Services Officer who is administrating this meeting. Thank you. Right, moving on to the agenda. First item, apologies. I know from Councillor Rattray, and welcome Councillor Gerrard, who's substituting for her. Any other apologies?
We've had apologies from Councillor Mercer as lead member for housing.
Thank you. Item two, minutes of the previous meeting. All members have the draft minutes and the purple minute from the closed agenda item. Can we agree those as a true record?
Agreed.
All agreed?
Yes.
Thank you.
Sorry, Chair, I'm abstaining for some of the
air. Okay, yeah, thank you. Any matters arising from the minutes? No?
Madam Chairman, I've got one item for matters arising. So, minute number 64, where the committee considered the statutory guidance and overview and scrutiny, there was a suggestion that following the council pound should be looked into. I can report that subsequently to the meeting, I have met with the procurement manager, and he has suggested that it would be in order to adopt an element of proportionality in the requirement to have a clause introduced in contracts to suppliers to attend scrutiny commission meetings. He has recommended that a clause be included in such contracts where there is a major strategic significance, and it could be incorporated into the procurement toolkit templates which officers use when putting together the procurement paperwork. He has also suggested that the additional clauses and special terms be included on the Council's website, and any drafting of such clauses would require legal services agreement. He did also say that with regard to existing contracts where the encumbrant suppliers, he felt that they would be agreeable to reasonable requests to attend the Scrutiny Commission meetings without having a contractual obligation to do so. And as long as the questions were put to the witnesses in advance, he felt that would be appropriate. And certainly there is a witness charter, the charter that we have in place, so that would be in order. And also, finally, he did say in terms of pre-scrutiny, the Scrutiny Commission already takes part in the scoping of relevant documents, such as those where the contract value is over £1 million. And so that would be the pre-scrutiny items where they would be selected beforehand. So overall, it's a good piece of news, and I would suggest that after today's meeting, as long as you're in agreement with that, I go back to the procurement manager to say that a proportionate element be incorporated, and that such clauses with legal services input be put into such contracts in the future. Thank you.
Thank you for that. I think that is good news, and I think that's what we were asking for. Anybody got any questions, or anybody? Please, Councillor Bailey.
Thank you. Just what would constitute the benchmark then for that clause to be put in? You sort of said major thing. What constitute major? That's all. Just that clarification really as to where that cut-off would be.
I suggest that a key decision, as termed in the Constitution, is something over £150,000 of significant community impact. He is suggesting contracts over the £1 million mark, and I think it's a judgment call where in the toolkit he's suggesting when officers are undertaking the procurement exercise before they go out to the market that this clause be a suggestion as part of that toolkit. So therefore it flags up, you need to check if this is the sort of contract that would be of interest to the Scrutiny Commission. So as an example, the contract for wines and spirits at the Town Hall, that is not of a community impact, but, for example, the housing might be is certainly of a community impact. So it's very much a judgment call based on community impact and the financial thresholds as well.
Thank you.
Are we in agreement then? We can go back to the procurement officer and say thank you and we approve of what he suggested. Everybody agreed to that?
Yeah.
Thank
yes.
you. Right, item 3, declarations of pecuniary and personal interests. Are there any? No. Item 4, declarations of the party whip. No. Thank you. Item 5, questions under scrutiny committee procedure. We have no questions. Item 6, pre-decision scrutiny of any specific financial matters to be considered by Cabinet. There are no items of this nature on the Cabinet agenda for the Commission to consider this evening. So we can move straight on to item 7, which is the Cabinet item for pre-decision scrutiny. And can I ask Alison Simmons to come forward, please? She's the Head of Strategic Housing, who's going to talk to the report when you're ready. Thank you, Alison.
Thank you very much. Alison Simmons, Head of Strategic and Private Sector Housing. I'm presenting the report today for the Homeless and Rough Sleeping Reduction Strategy 2019-22. I'd just like you to note that I had made an error in the title of the report and of the actual strategy itself. It is Sleeping, not Sleepers, and that will obviously make sure that's amended before we publish the document, if approved by Cabinet. The Homeless Act 2002 placed a legal obligation on local housing authorities to produce a homeless strategy. The first one was produced by Charmwood in 2003, and subsequent strategies in 2008, 2013, and 2018. When we took the 2018 strategy to Cabinet for approval, this was based on the changes from the Homeless Reduction Act and to make sure we had a strategy in place before that was implemented in April 2018. The strategy was only for a 2-year period rather than 5 years because the intention was to have a joint housing and homelessness strategy. But since that decision was made, in August and December of 18, the government introduced their new rough sleeping strategy and delivery plan, which required local authorities to renew their strategies earlier than the date of the review period and to ensure that there was an aspect within the strategy of rough sleeping. So therefore, we have reviewed the strategy earlier than we had anticipated, and we have not included the housing strategy as part of the document. And it is now, as I said, the homelessness and rough sleeping reduction strategy. We've taken into consideration the compliance with the Homeless Reduction Act 2017 and the rough sleeper strategy and delivery plan. We've ensured we've focused on continuous improvement in the way we respond to homeless and to support the reform across the wider system and improve the support available to local residents who find themselves in difficulty, and this is especially with partners, we need assistance. We will deliver this through my team, through the Housing Options team, a close working relationship with our external partners, and that includes charities, the Bridge, Falcon Support Services, and also the other districts and boroughs with the formation and agreement of county-wide protocols, for instance, for 16, 17-year-old and care leavers. We utilise the government homelessness grant that's awarded and any discretionary housing payments that we can use to help to prevent people from becoming homeless. Performance monitoring is key in strategy, and there is always a section in any strategy that I bring for approval in relation to the performance and how it will be monitored. This strategy does say there's 9 key objectives, even though there's 10 on the page, so apologies again, and we will amend that. But the other aspect as well is we review on an annual basis, so we have a new action plan every year. That doesn't mean to say the actions aren't still the same, because a lot of the work is continuous. We have got 6 objectives compared to the previous strategy, which had 5, with the additional one for supporting rough sleepers. I wasn't intending on going through the whole strategy, but that was just a brief run-through of why we've brought the strategy earlier than we had anticipated, what we've included in relation to statutory requirements, and now it's over to you for any questions. Thank you.
Thank you. When members want to speak, can you remember to press your buttons, please, as we're in this particular room? Any questions or comments? Councillor Gerrard?
I know I haven't done this for a few months now, but is there a number someone can call if they're rejected from a family home, say 10 o'clock at night, and it's not in Loughborough, it's in one of the surrounding villages? Is there somewhere where they can call and go without coming into Loughborough, so to speak?
Yes, there's an out-of-hours number, which is on the council's website, and then they get through to one of my officers who will go through what the issues and what the concerns they have on the night, and if we need to, we'll place on the night into temporary accommodation, which will be bed and breakfast, because that's all we've got access to, or our emergency bed at the Falcon Centre if we haven't already used that on the night.
OK, thank you. Councillor Bolton.
Just a very quick question. On page 15 of our agenda pack, you talk at point 2 about a consultation having been carried out on the strategy. I just wondered when that was actually carried out. Is it?
The consultation has been carried out with the Homeless Strategy Steering Group, which will be changing its name to reflect the new name of the strategy, and our registered providers and benefit liaison groups. So it's with the stakeholders. Because in relation to the aspects of the strategy are not very different to the previous one, we haven't gone to the housing register like we did previously, so we haven't had resident involvement in this, but it has gone to the stakeholders, and what we will do is ensure that through the process of satisfaction surveys that we find out how residents feel about the services that they're receiving, both from ourselves and from our partners and services that we commission. And we have a final meeting this week on Wednesday to go through where we will, before the document is published, name the organisations that will be delivering the actions.
Thank you.
Okay. Councillor Parsons, before I come in.
Recommendation 2 references the finances, and recommendation 3 references the budgets. But I can't find any budget or financial information in here. Is it just because it's somewhere else that I can't find? We're doing 2 recommendations, both of which reference finance and budgets. And I, unless I've missed it, I can't actually find any budgetary financial information in here from which I can assess whether I'm comfortable that the budget levels are at a level I'm happy to go, yeah, that's fine, to delegate authority.
The budget cost would have been included in the MTFS and the budget setting process in relation to my team and the delivery of that. There isn't any additional funding that's required other than the staff team and any homeless grants that are put forward. And when I brought strategies for approval previously, I've not included that aspect in it. There is reference in the review as to the increased costs in relation to temporary accommodation, which are covered and are contained within the existing budget that has been allocated. But going forward, I can look at ensuring that we do include the budget aspects of it, but I haven't done that to date.
Thank you. Can I ask, when there's reference to budgets and recommendations, because lots of members here won't be au fait with the MTFS, they won't know it inside out, and they won't be comfortable in... if I went round members now, it could be £1 or it could be £1 million. And members, I think, are passing budgetary constraints without full knowledge of the MTFS and not necessarily being in a position to comfortably connect the two. So if anything comes forward with recommendations involving finance or budgets, I think it's incumbent that we see that section of the budget that I'm about to stick my hand up to, or not, as the case may be, when they come through in these reports, because I'm on budget scrutiny and I cannot sit here and say I can immediately recall the figure in the MTFS for this particular strategy, and I'm guessing others around here can't do that either. I might be the one that can or can't, but I'm guessing others can't do that. So anything that references budgets, I think, should come with that budget or with the finances that we're being asked to assess the sensitivity of, or whether we're prepared to delegate powers for that amount.
Okay, I think we can do that as when we come to the recommendations at the end of this item. Okay, I've got a few things. First of all, the committee would want to thank you and officers for putting the report together. There's an awful lot of work here. It is of concern, though, that the number of homelessness cases, if I've read the report right, has increased over the last 12 months, and improved use of bed and breakfast, which is very costly and is not the ideal way. Far better to have some form of temporary accommodation than bed and breakfast. Just three things I'd like to touch on. The figures for evictions or people becoming homeless for private sector landlords is considerably high, a lot higher than for the council. What's the requirement? Does a landlord just tell the tenant that they have to leave, or do they have to go to court and get a court order first?
When a private rented sector tenancy, they have to serve a notice, and depending on what the reason for that request to leave, if it's rent arrears, it'll be a Section 8. If it's just because they want to move back into the property themselves, maybe they can't live where they are now, it's a Section 21. And all those notices give a given time period in which for the tenant to leave, and if they don't leave, then court action is taken. Court will then give a date, just like they would with a local authority case that went to court, as to when they should be out of the property. Again, if they don't leave, then we'd get a warrant. They'd get a warrant for a bailiff to attend and evict the people from the property. Nationally, the two highest reasons for homelessness are breakdown in family relationships, non-domestic, and normally the end of an AST, which is an assured short-hold tenancy in the private rented sector. So although they are high for Charnwood, they are the same nationally in relation to the reasons for homelessness.
So the assured tenancy, how long is that for now?
When we work with applicants taking on a new tenancy, we always try to get a 12 months tenancy. The actual legislation requires us to find accommodation for somebody that has at least 6 months. We always try to negotiate 12 months because we know that in 6 months, otherwise somebody could be coming back knocking at the council's door because they've been served a notice. So we always aim for 12 months. In relation to the work we're doing with CBC Lettings, again, we offer incentives for 12-month tenancies, so we're always trying to ensure we get 12 months. Then at the end of that period, the tenant would speak to the landlord to see if they can have another 12-month period or carry on with the roll-on until both one side or the other would like to end the tenancy.
My next point is I was quite surprised that the number of homelessness is actually women, as opposed to men, which surprised me. But when I looked at page 68 of the report, when it talks about children in households, if I'm reading it right, the chart at the bottom, the graph at the bottom, there's 352 cases, is that, where you've got no children. You've got 128 cases with one child, and you've got 86 with two. And if you carry on, to me that adds up to 447 children in 1 year have been made homeless in Charnwood. Have I read that correctly? Because that's quite shocking, isn't it? I know last week Shelter announced nationally the number of children a day that are being made homeless across the country. But that figure to me was quite, well, I found it very sad that those children's lives are being disrupted the way they are. So I think one of the recommendations I'd like is when we take this to Cabinet is for that to be drawn out, particularly for the Cabinet's attention, because I kind of think it's hidden in the report. It is actually, to my mind, the headline of the matter. So that was all my points.
If someone is kicked out late at night, no phone, no computer with them, how do they get in touch, say, from a village like Thurcaston, where it's pitch dark? How would they get in touch with the emergency number, please?
I think the only way they could do that is if they haven't got a phone, they'd have to knock or try and speak to a resident within the area they're in to see if they could get that contact through there. Because there are very few phone boxes now, and if they haven't got the money to make a call, then again, they've not even got access to that. So they would have to try and see if they could contact somebody within the vicinity of where they are to get them to the out-of-hours number.
Thank you.
Okay. Any other questions or comments on the report? No? It's our task now to put forward some recommendations. I'm presuming that we're going to endorse the report, but with caveats. And if we take Councillor Parsons' comments first, I think that should be a general comment that applies to all reports that come to Cabinet. They'd have to come to Cabinet first, wouldn't they, for them to come here with the MTF in. So if we could make that.
Aaron Willison speaking. Can I just clarify? So when a report such as this comes forward, you would like to see in the background documents where the budget line is for the MTF or whichever report it might be?
I think where a recommendation references finances or budgets, the budget figure or financial figure should be with the report, because I don't think that members will have instant recall of the MTFS in this room as to the budget line. And so I think it should accompany reports where the recommendation, if the recommendation wasn't linked to the budgets or finances, I wouldn't have said it. But where it references it, I can't look it up. I can't check that I'm comfortable with the level. If it's a pound, I'm not worried. If it's £1 million, I'm concerned in delegating the authority. So it's the level, so I would want to put my hand up subject to those figures coming back to us.
And the second recommendation I'd like included is to draw out the figures regarding the number of children that's involved in these homelessness cases. I mean, the fact that it's gone up as well, the figure's gone up in the last 12 months is also of concern. But particularly, I think, to do with the large number of children, which is 447 in the last 12 months. Any other recommendations or comments that anybody wants to draw to the Cabinet's attention? Everybody okay with those two then?
Yes.
Okay, is that agreed?
Yes.
All right, thank you. Thank you, Alison. Right, move on to the next item, which is item 8, Scrutiny Commission pre-decision scrutiny Cabinet response. Karen.
Thank you. So this item 8 is purely for information, and it sets out the response from the last items that were pre-scrutinised by the committee relating to tenancy support, the environment in planning and regeneration, and the exempt item that concerning the disposal of landholding known as Plot 5, Weldon Road, Loughborough. And this report is for noting. Thank you.
Everybody okay with that? Thank you. Item 9, progress with panel work.
So Karen Widdowson speaking again. So this is the progress report on scrutiny committee panels. So the first action is I will go through the update on the scrutiny panels, and the second action relates to a scoping document for generating commercial income. So dealing with an update on the scrutiny panels, there are currently two formal panels underway, one relating to generating commercial income stroke surplus, and that has a meeting scheduled for the 23rd of January and the 5th of March. And the budget scrutiny panel has one further meeting on the 8th of January. And then there is one informal panel underway at the present time concerning waste services and waste management. In respect of the informal panel concerning waste management, I understand that North West Leicestershire District Council are undertaking a trial concerning waste, and it's been suggested by the chairman that that be looked into and the information passed to Councillor Rattray, who is dealing with that particular panel. And then in terms of other progress, so on page 97 of the document, the appendix, it's listing the future of local government in Leicestershire, the unitary status proposals. So the panel that was asked for at a previous meeting. So if I just get my paperwork in front of me, bear with me. So it's come to light that this panel was due to start in January 2020. However, I understand that the County Council are actually considering their options at the end of February, and therefore it seems very prudent to postpone or even hold back with the commencement of this panel until the proposals from the County Council are made available. Also, it's worth noting that the proposals, as they are a policy matter, will be referred to Cabinet as well, and that was agreed at the last Council meeting. So what has been suggested that this item be panel be postponed, awaiting the information from the County Council and the matter to be considered by Cabinet. The other update I wanted to give was on page 98. There are two panels. There's an express panel concerning the parking enforcement enhancement. This is due to start in January. However, no scoping document has been drafted yet. So I would like an update on where we are with that particular panel, because we do need to approve the scoping document prior to the commencement of the meeting, the panel meetings. And then the other concerns the informal panel for small businesses. Again, further information is required about the scoping, and that is due to commence in February. So if there's any further updates for that, I would like to know that. And also, finally, the Appendix 2 sets out the scoping document for the commercialisation panel. Now, generally, the panel scoping document would be approved by the Scrutiny Commission before the meeting commences. However, in the circumstances of that panel, it was an informal panel, which then became a formal panel, so it went ahead. And tonight it's for the Scrutiny Commission to effectively, retrospectively agree that scoping document. And that's all the updates from me. Any questions?
Can I suggest we go through those one at a time, because there's quite a lot there. If we go first to do with the generating commercial income, and we take the scoping document first. Is any comments on the scoping document? Are we all right with the scoping document? We can agree it?
We think so.
Yeah. Okay. Well, it's out of order, but as has been explained, it was the change. But in future, the aim is to have the scoping documents agreed before any panel meets. So on the next page, the digitalisation, that's in hand, budget scrutiny is in hand. future of local government unity status has been explained. We're putting that back, appending the County Council's Cabinet report. Any comments on that? Councillor Bolton.
Yeah, I just, forgive me if I've missed this, but the digitalisation and transformation of services, it says winter 2019, which is where we are now. I haven't seen a scoping document. Has it started?
Again, that's actually one that needs to be picked up. Where are we with that? There's no... we need to get going with that one. The chairman has been appointed and we need to roll on with that. So after the meeting as an action, we can get in touch with the member involved, and so a scoping document can be agreed ready for the next meeting.
No, you're right, Councillor Bolton. Mm. Who's the chair? Can you remind me?
Let me get my document. Councillor Parsons, actually.
Councillor Parsons.
I have a sneaking suspicion it was me in my
Have you any comments?
Press
your microphone, please.
Corporate Scrutiny are looking at their entire workflow with regard to the soon-to-be-forthcoming corporate plan and soon-to-be-forthcoming business plan, and we will accommodate this in our work plan once we have and once we can see. We have a letter going to Cabinet because we'd also like the Cabinet Forward programme in order to strategically align all of our work, of which this panel will sit in amongst it.
So we make that later then, change winter 19 to a date next year?
As soon as we get all the documents we want, once the letter goes to Cabinet, which is due to go this week, requesting access to the Cabinet Forward programme, there isn't a reason why we can't start, but we need to strategically put it in with all of our other workload. So I don't want to change it at this point in time. I'd rather wait till we see all the documents, understand what it is we've got to plan, and then build it into that workload, because it's such a major piece of work. The chief exec has... the transformation plan has delayed and is now amber, but not because of anything... Machiavellian, but with a new chief exec coming in who has different ideas, that panel, that group that's overseeing that whole agenda has pushed that agenda back, and we want to make sure we reflect where that is. No point in us doing it with the chief exec running in a different direction, so we need to time it accordingly. So we'll get all the documents together. It's very much front and centre in our radar as one of the key things that we need to be doing.
Okay, are you happy or okay that we... So if we put January 20 for starting the scoping exercise and then take it from there?
I would rather you put pending receipt of all the documents. Until we can see it, if the chief exec doesn't put the group together and progress on it, us starting before the chief exec does wouldn't be appropriate, I don't think. We need to understand where the chief exec's transformation group is going, because it's all been put back. And until we see that, until we see the Cabinet Forward programme, I would be loath to put a date by it that I'm going to come back to you and say, we're not going to do it till June or July. As soon as we get the document set together and we can plot our forward programme, we will immediately let you know as soon as we do it.
Shall we put 2020? Shall we put 2020 pending all the information being available to start the procedure along those words? Is that okay? Thank you for that, Councillor Parsons. So, budget scrutiny, that's fine. Unity status, we've dealt with. Parking enforcement, Councillor Baines, can you help on this one? Do you want this still in, or because it's now very tight to the date?
Sorry, what are you asking?
Parking enforcement.
What, whether I'll be on the panel?
No, you were leading on it, if
no,
I remember right.
I'm not. Somebody else is. I'm not leading on that panel. I don't have time to lead on that panel either. We've asked... it wasn't me. It's I have said I've helped set up. I'll give him some advice on what he might set up.
I do apologise, Councillor Baines. It's Councillor Howe.
Okay.
Right, so, well, he's been asked for information so we can start the scoping, but it's not been forthcoming. So do we leave it on or do we take it off?
I suggest it's left on, and I will have a chat with him about what I originally envisaged should be done about it, and then hopefully something will be done about it for the next committee meeting.
Thank you very much for that.
Chair.
Funding for small businesses, that's February, so that's fine. Waste management services, yes. At the neighbourhood scrutiny meeting in the minutes, this has also been discussed, and the officer's responses was along the lines that it would be very expensive and not viable. But North West Leicestershire have just done a number of press releases and that about a trial, which seems to me a more sensible way of doing this. There's a number of London boroughs, and all of Scotland is doing this already. So all that information must be available about the expense, etc. So I've suggested that if Karen and Lucy could get the information from North West Leicestershire rather than us reinventing the wheel, and then that could be considered for that particular panel. But again, that's behind, but I think they do need this information first. So we'll take that back to the chair that was appointed, if that's all right. Thank you. Children's centres, that's okay. And I think the others are still ahead of the programme as well. And we've dealt with the scoping. So I think that's all the business. So any other comments or questions on that report? Everybody okay with that? Thank you. Right, move on to item 10, which is the scrutiny work programme. Karen, if you would please.
Thank you, Chairman. So moving on to agenda item number 10, the scrutiny work programme. This is set out in the appendix. The changes to highlight are set out on page 105. The Neighbourhoods and Community Wellbeing Committee met on the 26th of November and made the changes as listed in the report. I also need to add in that they removed Charnwood Grants, the Strategic Partners 21-22 as well. There have been no other changes made to the individual scrutiny work programme. Corporate Services met on Wednesday, the 4th of December, and made no changes. And the Housing, Planning, Regeneration and Regulatory Services Scrutiny Committee are due to meet tomorrow evening, and any changes will be reported into the next Scrutiny Commission. So this report is effectively for noting. Thank you.
Just one item I want to draw to the committee's attention is reference to the Children and Families Wellbeing Service. As a committee, we've agreed a panel, but you've got Neighbourhoods and Community Scrutiny Committee are also looking at Children and Family Services, but have added, and it's the first bullet point at the bottom of page 105, external partnership. Seems to me that we're kind of duplicating things here a little bit, so it's either one of us should be doing it rather than both of us doing it. So I'm not quite sure what the external partnership bit is about, because we were looking at just a snapshot 12 months down the line after all of the changes. So do we want to hand it all over to Neighbourhood Scrutiny for them to do all of it, or do you want to leave it as it is, both scrutiny doing a version themselves? Doesn't seem to make sense to me.
No.
If committee's agreed, then we'll take this back to the chair and vice chair of Neighbourhood Scrutiny and suggest that they take it all on, and then they can report back to us at the next meeting, if that's okay.
Agreed.
Otherwise, can we agree the recommendations in the report?
Yes,
sure. Thank you. Move on to the next item, 11, which is the Scrutiny Commission programme. Thank you again, Karen.
Thank you, Chairman. So this Scrutiny Commission work programme, this item relates to the work programme and to the list of forthcoming key decisions. So the work programme is set out in the appendix, and I will concentrate on the future meeting that's coming up in January. So in January, we have quite a detailed agenda. We have got our standard items regarding work programmes, pre-scrutiny items. So, and we also have listed air quality review and assessment report, which is scheduled for January, the draft local plan, building control alternative service delivery model, budget scrutiny panel report, the corporate plan, and private sector licensing scheme. This is quite a detailed agenda coming forward, and so there is a suggestion that the air quality review assessment report be potentially deferred until March. That is based on information received from Alan Twells that the DEFRA have not published a report yet, and we are awaiting the outcome of that, so it seems sensible that we defer that particular item to March to allow officers to understand that report in more detail. And the rest of, I won't go through the rest of the work programme, but I just wanted to highlight that the next meeting in January has a lot of agenda items. And then the other matter for the Commission tonight is to look at the key decisions going forward. Those are set out in Appendix 2. And the Chairman, we had a look through them. We've already picked up the private sector licensing scheme already, the corporate plan and building control alternative service delivery project. Are there any other items potentially that members might want to look at? I think possibly the insurance item is a possibility, which is listed on page 125. Thank you.
Thank you. Any questions or comments? Okay. If we look at the agenda then for the next meeting, is the committee agreed that we'll take the air quality report in view of the circumstances and defer that till March? And are members happy then for all the other reports? We'll be burning the midnight oil probably, but they're very important items. So is everybody agreed with that?
Agreed.
Right, thank you for that. And then regarding the key decisions, sorry, Councillor Parsons.
On the local plan, we will receive before the meeting the consultation responses. Is that correct?
That's correct.
Will we receive the planning department's actions against those responses?
At this stage, I'm not sure, Councillor Parsons. Karen, are you able to help?
I don't have the timetable in front of me, but given that the closing date for the observations on the local plan is on the 16th of December, it seems highly unlikely that the planning officers have been able to have time to actually fully look over those responses and write a response in time for a committee dispatch on the 3rd of January. So the committee agenda paperwork would go out on the 3rd of January, so highly unlikely that we would have those responses. So the answer is no.
So on that basis then, when is the local plan next being seen by Cabinet subject to the 13th of January? It's not immediately afterwards?
Not that I'm aware of. Unfortunately, I didn't bring my timetable for the local plan with me, so I can't. But I can follow that up after the meeting with the chairman.
I would wish to ensure that the planning department's responses to the consultation responses comes through here before Cabinet pass it. I know we'll get it on pre-decision,
mm-hmm.
but pre-decision is very tight on something as substantive as the local plan. So I would wish whatever mechanism we can find to ensure that the planning department's response to the public's responses finds its way through us in some other means other than pre-decision scrutiny, because it's too short a time frame for us to respond in a positive and constructive and critical friend fashion to the way we have responded to the public's demands or questions or their public response. So I would be uncomfortable if the only time we saw the public, the planning department's response to the public, was in pre-decision scrutiny. I would be uncomfortable and would find that difficult.
If I can suggest that out of the meeting I can speak to the planning service and the chairman and vice chairman to agree a mechanism so that full scrutiny, as you are describing, can be followed. Yeah, thank you.
Okay, is the committee agreed with that? Yes, thank you. And then on the key decisions to do with the insurance cover, or is there any other items for February that any member wants to propose? Or if you're okay with the insurance, we'll leave it, but it's down to the committee to decide. To approve the most cost-effective future option for the provision of the council's insurance cover. Please, Councillor.
I think it would be quite good to have a look at that one, to be fair, because I think budgetary wise it could be quite a lot of money.
Okay, we agreed then that we'll call the insurance report in. Right, I think that's the end of the business. Yes, next meeting is the 13th of January 2020. We might be in a new world then, who knows. So I hope everybody has a nice Christmas and at least a break anyhow. And we'll see everybody back in January. Right. Thank you.
Thank you,
Chair.